since then. We are glad you're here today. And today's also, if you are not remembering, I saw a lot of food being brought in. So even if you didn't bring any, we're going to have our monthly food and fellowship fair. It's kind of a Christmas one with some game and some gift exchange, which most of you have put in the bins back there. Yes?
And if you forgot to bring gift exchange, we've got extra gifts.
We have some extras, so we want you to stay if you can and to have some fun. Okay. And then next Sunday, practice on Saturday for those who are involved, kids who are involved in the program next Sunday. Don't forget practice. And then we also are having Thad and Rebecca Hoosby with us. If you remember down on City Beach, our annual Roundup Sunday, they had shared with us. And so it's going to be extra special. And you'll want to be here. Invite your family and friends next Sunday. It's going to be extra special. All right. And then also our Christ's birthday offering, because we'll be taking a love offering for Thad and Rebecca next Sunday when they're here. We're going to delay the Christ's birthday offering till the 29th and the first Sunday in January. So keep that in mind. All righty. Yes. Okay, I guess that's it, unless I'm forgetting something else. Alma and Don are going to come and light our Advent candle for us. It's good. Hunter's going to assist. Okay.
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2:13-14.
Thank you very much. Good. Thank you. So, we've lit three candles in anticipation of the Christ child coming, and the scriptures today help us to focus on the seraph and shepherd song. The good news given to the shepherds from those angels and how the shepherds received him and passed it on. And we're going to hopefully be good shepherds today as well and receive that good news and pass it on in our own lives. Shall we pray about that? Yes. Father, thank you again for the freedom we have to come into your house today to worship you, celebrating this season the gift of your Son. Jesus is the reason for this season. And so in anticipation of that, our hearts rejoice to receive the good news from the angels and the shepherds. And Lord, we just pray that you will enable us to receive it fully, open our hearts wider to you and your word and your spirit. Bless each one that is here and also those that we're missing today, those especially that need your healing touch. Thankful, Lord, that you are the great physician. And that's just one of the good things that you offer to us today. We give you praise for all of this in your Son's name. Amen. Ellen, before you and Lula come to share with us, we have something extra special today. We're going to ask Carl to come up here to this chair. Why would we do that? Why am I carrying a little water and a towel? Why am I presenting to Carl a new birth certificate? Yeah. Friday the 13th is considered kind of a bad day for some people. For Carl, it's the best day ever. Did you, Sirius, did you tell us that? Friday we had the privilege to go to Carl and Joanna's house and help Carl accept the Lord as his Savior. And Carl, this new birth certificate is yours from the church, and we want to welcome you to the family of God. Can I shake your hand? Joanna, why don't you come up here and be beside him? And due to physical constraints and that sort of thing, Carl did not want to wait till this summer when we typically do our baptisms, and also being immersed as we usually practice would be difficult for him. Just want to share again, that's the way we normally practice baptism because it symbolizes going down and being buried to our sins, dying to our sins, and being raised to new life in Christ. We lose that symbolism a little bit this morning. We're going to do it the liturgical way, but that's okay. As I said to Carl the other day, after he accepted Jesus in his heart, we're not legalistic about how you do the baptism. It's a public... Cheryl, quit crying. No, it's wonderful. We're all rejoicing today with tears and with laughter. I was telling Carl that we're not legalistic about the means of baptism. That is an important symbolism. But the willingness and the desire to give a public testimony and a witness to what's already happened spiritually is what this is all about. And so we are going to baptize Carl. Yes? What? You want? You have to keep that. Oh, you don't want to get it wet?
Right.
That's what Joanna's here is for. She's going to hold it for you.
I'm going to be born.
New birth. Born again, as Jesus said. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So that's why it's a new birth. You're being born again today, Carl. Well, Friday, actually. We're just celebrating it today.
Can't stop joking.
That's okay. That's one of the things we love about Carl. And so we're going to, and I don't know if you can use that as needed, okay? All right. So, Carl, we are going to baptize you based on your faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's appropriate.
Amen.
Let the church break out in rejoicing. We usually call this the wet witness. You're not all wet, Carl, but you're some wet. Okay. Welcome to the family of God. We love you, Carl. We rejoice. What a better way to celebrate Christmas than what you've done and joined the family of God. And Joanna's a little happy for him. Just a little. You want a hand up, Carl? That's what I'm here for. Okay, give him another hand. Lord bless you, Carl. Now, Alan and Lula are going to come and lead us in a hymn. And it's hymn number 83, I believe. Is that correct? All right. There's a song in the air because Carl is now a part of us officially. And they all said, amen. Amen.
Like the Lord said one time when he's trying to change me, hallelujah. It worked too. Oh, yeah. Well, there's a song in the air. Again, if I find a starting note, we can sing it. Do you need more than that?
There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rings its fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy o'er the wonderful birth. For the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. Hey, the star reigns its fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. In the light of that star lie the ages impearled, and the song from afar has slipped on o'er the world. Every hearth is aflame, and the beautiful sing. In the homes of the nations, that Jesus is King. We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. Hey, we shout to the lovely evangel they bring, and we greet in his cradle our Savior and King.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's kind of appropriate we chose to do that carol today with the tune in our hymnal, presuming that Mike and Beth Ann would be here, because he always wants to have the notes in front of him from our hymnal. And it's a different tune than some people are used to with There's a Song in the Air, but of course the same words. The tune that is in our Church of God hymnal was written by a Church of God pioneer, Andrew Byers. It's appropriate that we sang it to the Byers tune, since the Byers aren't with us this morning. I just thought I'd plug that in there. You know, God works all things together for good, that sort of thing. Okay, so there's a song in the air, and that song came upon a midnight clear. This is probably one of my favorite Christmas carols. Problem is, that particular version didn't have my favorite verse, which says, "And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, look now for glad and golden hours, come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing." I think I got it right. But anyway, the idea is that in life, many times we find ourselves weary and laying beside the road, as it were. But we hear the good news the angels give to us, and it lifts our spirits and our hearts, and God is able to do his work in us and through us what we need. And so I like that. Now we're going to have our children come up and help us with our children's Change the World offering to share this good news with others around the world. Come on up, kids. Got these two. Yes, they're Hunter. Hunter's on the way as well. And if anyone else wants to join them, be a child this morning, you're welcome to it. Father, thank you again for our children. Thank you for the blessing they are to us. Thank you that you came as a child in order to show us the real you and the innocence, the heart of a child, the faith of a child represented before us this morning. Thank you for each of these. We pray your blessing on them and this offering to the purpose that's it intended for. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Go get them, kids. Sophia back there. Hi, Sophia. Sorry that more of you weren't able to be at the Pan of the Theater last night for the Nutcracker, the jazzy Nutcracker ballet that Sophia was one of the stars in. And she's also now one of the teachers that oversees all the wee little kids. And we saw a whole bunch of other little... Oh, yes, Hunter is calling Hunana. Is Hunana going to children's church? Must be. Okay. All righty. Well, we're continuing in our Felice fulfillment series. We've looked at Joseph or Mary, first of all, Mary's "May it be," demonstrating that willingness to be used by God, availability, whatever you want to do, Lord, do it through me. And Joseph's Jesus, which was represented by his holiness, his righteousness, and his faithfulness, and his woofiness. And giving us encouragement that we may be in awkward positions sometimes like Joseph was, but God has a special calling for us even in that and our weirdness sometimes even. And so I hope that these things are being applied in your life and you're letting the Lord use them to share the good news of his love this morning. So today we're going to focus on the seraphs and the shepherd's song. And we've been singing about it this morning, and so I hope you're not tired of woofing, singing. Was that a note? Was that a song? Which leads to this question. Hunter, you're not making Hunana do that, are you? I sure hope not, because we'll have to get Grandma back in here to settle you both down. How many notes are there in an octave? Seriously? It goes back, okay. because I was going to get all messed up if it was 8. I have always thought it was 7. So anyway, do some research afterward. But for now, accept that it's 7, okay? So that this will be the perfect song. 7 points. Alan's over there counting on his.
Yeah.
Is it 7?
Yes. C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C.
And C again. I feel so good. Now we can say amen and leave. No. We have a perfect message, 7 notes today in the message. And so the song that we hear from the seraphs and the shepherds is going to become our song. Is that fair? I open to that. And we have a song to sing to the world as well. And so we want to look at that this morning. And we want to hear again that beautiful song out of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Please, Alan.
I want to say that Ruth and Boaz were in the same fields. These are the same location, the same family, a few centuries later. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Yeah. So we know the angels sang, the seraphs sang. Did the shepherds sing? Of course they did. What a dumb question. They returned glorifying and praising God. That wasn't just babble. That was, I think they were on tune, in harmony, and all of that. And the song has been brought down to us through the years by others who kept the song going. And will we keep the song going is the question for us this morning. The Seraph and the Shepherd song is our song. And we have the privilege, the opportunity all around us to be singing to people. I like to sing. I don't know about you. I've got a beautiful voice. I just can't keep it in. You know, make a joyful noise. If it's just a noise, that's okay. It's still a song. It's still sweet in God's ears and all of that. Don't worry about what other people think. They might slap you, but that's okay. So anyway, David was the first shepherd king that we know of, right? And he did a lot of singing as well. He sang to Saul, but the Psalms are full of the songs of David. And so we want to look at some of that shepherd psalmist praise this morning. It is kind of a preview of great things to come when the angels sang. So we see from Psalm 40 following.
"Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of all your deeds, they would be too many to declare. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come.
Yeah, David's singing or his praise was spoken of in these verses in many different ways. Speak, tell, declare, relate, proclaim, declare, declare again, and till I declare it to the next generation. And so David was full of it. He would just couldn't help himself to declare and to tell, to speak, all in different forms, orally and in his life, of the wonders of God. He continues in Psalm 89 and following.
I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all the generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Ascribe to the Lord all your families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise?
David just goes on and on and on with praises to the Lord. He says, sing, make known, declare, sing, praise, proclaim, declare, ascribe three times. Praise, proclaim, fully declare. Just don't let it stay inside. Let it out. Let it out. The Lord has given us a song to sing. Let us sing it in every way possible. And again, it's not just in word, it's not just in music, it's in our lives. We talked about that last week primarily, that our profession of faith would also be shown and proved real by what we do, and our lives would follow that song that we're singing to people. Well, it brings us down to Jesus himself, and of course, Jesus demonstrated in his own life what we're singing and praising him for and many other things. And one particular time after Jesus raised to new life the dead son of a widow, we see who was praising him in Luke chapter 7. Oh, we're going to get that point? It would be called prophet praise. Sorry. Yes, thank you. That's why, that's another reason she's around.
They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country.
Yeah, so they saw Jesus doing these miracles, and they said, a great prophet has come. So I called it prophet praise, but a little late for the bulletin and for my notes and all of that. I thought, well, it could also be called physician praise, because Jesus was healing many, and he's called the great physician. And I got this inspiration too late for the bulletin or for anything else, except I want you to turn in your hymnals now to number 62. Number 62 is entitled The Great Physician. We're going to actually sing a little bit of this point, all right? Speaking of that great prophet, or if you prefer, the great physician, let it be. Now, we're only going to sing the first verse and the chorus four times. All right? You up with that? Good for that. All right, here we go. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to hear. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, it's Jesus, blessed Jesus. It gets in your mind and you just can't let it go. So you keep singing. Okay, you got the point. So there's a song, let's keep it going as we look next at what we might call Pharisee praise. Pharisee praise. Did the Pharisees praise him? John chapter 12. Quit laughing, Alan.
Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
Yeah. How did the Pharisees praise him? It's a kind of a backhanded praise, we would call it, but they acknowledged what was going on, what people were seeing. The news is being spread. They can't contain it. It's beyond them. Like I said, it's a backhanded praise. Satan kind of acknowledged the same thing. He's in a losing war there. But the Pharisees, again, remember, are the ones who believed in the resurrection from the dead. And so Jesus raising people from the dead is really getting their attention, more so than the Sadducees. And again, the Sadducees are Sadducee because they don't believe in the resurrection. So that's why you've got Pharisees and Sadducees. So anyway, we could call this Pharisee praise, believing in the resurrection, seeing that Jesus is raising the dead. The word is spreading, can't be contained. That's Pharisee praise. Okay? Let's look next then at priestly power praise. We're combining a couple of things that go together here. And then both these in Acts, we see how the word of God is spreading.
So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power.
Yeah, so throughout the book of Acts, we see the word of the Lord spreading and being proclaimed. Even priests are coming into the faith and believing, being converted in that. And so it's uncontainable. It's just like a wildfire, and people are receiving it and just can't help but pass it on. And so we see the power that it speaks of here. The word of God grew and spread widely and in power. And so the power of the gospel is something that accumulates as well. The more that we help spread it, the greater the power that God is using at work in it. And we can be a part of that. We'll get back to the priestly part of this at the end. But fifthly, the fifth note in this beautiful, perfect song is what we might call processional praise. And Paul would later write about this in 2 Corinthians 2.
But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task?
Who is equal to such a task? We're part of this great procession of praise that's going on, and it's spoken of as an aroma. So we're using different senses at work here, but it's all part of the song. And so in Christ, we become captives in this procession of praise that is being displayed to people. For some, it's received as a heavenly aroma. For others, it's the stench of death. It depends on if you're willing to accept it or not. And it'll have both effects. We've seen it in our own life. The aroma we give off is pleasing to some, and it's not so pleasing to others. It depends where their heart is at. But it's a privilege to be a part of this processional place. Who is equal to such a task? None of us are equal to the task that is laid out before us. It's only as we're in Christ and we're captive in that and we're part of that great procession of praise that God is able to use us. And so we just offer ourselves to Him in whatever way He can sing through us, Lord, let it be. And people are going to respond to it one way or another. Sixthly, the sixth note then in our song is prayerful praise. Paul writes about this and he requests it from his prayer partners in Ephesians and 2 Thessalonians.
Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you.
Yeah. So Paul is requesting the prayer of those prayer partners that he has, those that he's writing to, people that he himself had an influence in coming to faith in the Lord and saying, please pray for me. I need to declare the word of the Lord fearlessly. Pray that I will as I should. And he also, of course, said he would be praying for them. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it should. And so we, again, have said it many times, we need to be in prayer for each other. Not only do we pray for ourselves that God will be able to use us in a beautiful way and make music in our lives, but we pray for each other that that will be the case as well. And there's harmony in that prayer for each other. That is part of the Spirit's harmony at work in us and through us. And it makes more beautiful the song of the Lord. And it just, you know, I go back to this so many times, but it's because the real focus of the Church of God Reformation movement, as I've said many times, is the unity of God's people. Jesus prayed that his people would be one so that the world would believe. When they see division among people, it just causes rejection and disbelief. But when they see the unity, when they see the harmony, when they see the beautiful song being sung together, that is what really captivates people. And so that is what we really stress. And so let us make the song that we're singing harmonious. We need not to just be a solo voice, but we need to be in harmony with each other, and our prayers for each other help to accomplish that. Finally, we come to what we might call the priestly people praise. I told you we'd come back to the priestly thing. Did you know that we are a priestly people? Peter reminds us of this in 1 Peter chapter 2.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
What does God call us to be? Priestly people who declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus his son. You can sing it. Why? We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus his son. Because of the blood of Christ, Jesus his son. Because of the blood of Christ, Jesus his son. Are you tired of me singing? Some of you are singing with, I don't need your mic. I got a better mic, sorry, but thanks for the offer. You're supposed to be singing into your mic. Yes. Okay. We are the people of God, but he says that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, because God has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And the role of a priest is to share the grace of God in different ways with people. We are a priestly people. We're saints, everyone, not because we're perfect, but because we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He makes us holy. He makes us priestly. He makes us saintly. Even Stephanie back there, who's going to come now and start taking people away from us, she's saintly too. Right, Stephanie? Oh, thanks, Pastor John. Anyway, yeah, thanks for the amen. Well, they're going to start taking them away, but I wanted to share with you this morning that God has always had I've always had a song in my heart for the Lord. I just want to share my testimony again. When I was 4 years old, and part of this is triggered by, what was your name again, Carl? Carl coming to the Lord late in life. Yes, my first memory in life was giving my heart to the Lord. And I'll just share again with all of you, some of you have heard it before, some of you haven't, that I was raised in a pastor's home, Eureka, Montana, Christmas tree capital of the world, because there's 7 Christmas tree yards in Eureka. My dad worked in one of those, which is one of his odd jobs as a struggling pastor. But anyway, we used to have revival services, they called them. And evangelist C.A. Watson, Charles A. Watson, who lived in Post Falls, came to Eureka 7 times in the years that I was growing up there. And I remember probably the very first one, when I was 4 years old, responding to an altar call. We called them altar calls back then. They'd call people to the altar. And I responded to the message, the good news of Jesus. I knew that I had sinned. I wanted to be saved. And so I found myself at the altar. And that is the first memory of my life. I think it's a special, unique blessing. And I've had the song of the Lord in my heart ever since then. And we were a musical family. We used to sing together, and Mom and Dad were gifted and all of that. Him and the guitar, her vibraharp's not there now, it's in the office. But anyway, so I've always loved to sing about the Lord. And I want it to be a life song that I sing. So it was very difficult for me to decide what song should we end with today to respond to God's word. Because I love the song by Casting Crowns, Life Song. It says, "Let my life be a song to you." And I thought, well, we need to use that. But I really want to use the song that I've told you before will be the last song in my funeral singspiration, which is going to be 10,000 Reasons. Let me be singing still when the evening comes, and to be singing forever. So guess what? We're going to do both of them. Since the theme is singing this morning, it's appropriate that we sing 2 songs at the end, isn't it? And you're okay with that? Good. The first song might be new to some of you. You might not be familiar with Life Song, but it's got beautiful lyrics as to what we've been sharing together. And then the second one you know really well, so you can really sing out loud on that. So join me as we sing a song to the Lord in response to his word this morning. You can stand or still be seated. James from last week talks about faith and expressing it.
Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice, not joined with my life. I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say and the things I do
that life song always be, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." We have 10,000 reasons and more to sing your name, Lord. Thank you. Let us be singing at the end of the day.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Within me, bless his holy name, both now and forevermore. Thank you, Lord, that one thing we will enjoy there is our voices won't give out. Sometimes we sing so loud and so strong, our voices fail. But when our voices fail, help us, Lord, not to fail you in word and deed, demonstrating to others by our lives and our life song the glory due your name. Thank you, Lord, that we do have a song to sing. It's the most beautiful song ever written. It's the sweetest note in Seraph's songs, the sweetest name on mortal tongue. It's the sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. What a privilege we have. How can we keep it in? How can we not sing? How can we not spread the news? Share it in every way possible. Thank you for the angels, for the seraphs and the shepherds who are faithful to spread the good news, to declare it from the heavens all the way down to where we live. Help us, Lord, to do the same, to be the same, to declare your name and your glory in our lives every way possible. And you're the only one who can make that possible. Who is equal to such a task? None of us. Not by ourselves, only by you, only by your Spirit and your Word in us. Thank you for that. We surrender our hearts anew to you today. As the shepherds bow down before your manger, so do we. And we want to go from your house today singing and declaring your glory to everyone we have an opportunity with. Help us to be faithful to that. Thankful for each one that is here today, Lord, we pray a special blessing in each heart and mind. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading, faithful to it, mindful of a number who are not with us today again, for the whole entire Byers clan, for Sue and her.